Good morning and welcome. It's always so great to look out and to see so many faces, some of whom I've known a long time, some that we're just getting to know, some that we're getting reacquainted. I am so thrilled when I see what God's doing here. And we want to give you just a tiny visual of that this morning. We'll share some of the stories here too. I am so excited about this church that God's creating. Many of you heard how several years ago, at least a couple years ago, I was having a time of devotions with my 3-year-old at the time. We were reading through a little devotional book, and there was this Psalm 37:7 was the Bible verse for the day, and they had paraphrased it to say, "Be patient, be still, wait for the Lord to act." And there was something in me that just said, "This is God saying this to me right now." And so I took that, I wrote it on a post-it, I stuck it on my desk for this extended period of time. And over the last couple of years, I've had a chance to just watch God move. I had no idea it was going to mean that eventually we'd be here in Chippewa Middle School having a brand new church. And it's been so exciting to see how it was God who planted that seed years ago and then to watch as it's starting to unfold. And we've told a lot of the stories, and at different times we're going to continue to bring them up, of how this is really God's idea, how he gave us the name, how he led us to this specific facility. There's so many of these stories we've told over and over again, but last week when we were here, I said, I got to tell you some of what he's been doing recently, just in the last couple weeks, because I have this great vantage point, being one of the connective people here, where I get to see these things that are just so cool. And it's not just, okay, we're starting another church on a street that already has a bunch of them. This is God's idea. This church is God's idea. And it wasn't just something that he said, okay, here are some of the things that are going to show that it's my idea. Then I'm just going to stop working and now it's up to you guys. He's still at work. Here's a little slide just to kind of organize my thoughts, because I could go all over the place. I was meeting with some of the ushers this morning. Brian, I was like, yeah, I'm going to tell a couple of stories. He's like, oh. And my father-in-law said the same thing. Oh, stories. So I'm going to try to track here. Okay, so I give some categories to keep me moving along and not just going off on all these tangents, because I could. And they wouldn't be exactly tangents. They would just be story after story of what God's doing. All of this is stuff that's happened in the last couple weeks. Okay, all of these are, everything I'm going to tell you is from December 1st till now. And this is just some of them, okay? But I think we need to hear this, because now we're starting the week-to-week-to-week thing. And just like, I think of the children of Israel, how they came out of a different situation. And they, not long after coming out, they were like, are we really supposed to do this? Are you really in this, God? They'd seen a move so powerfully at the beginning. I think it's a scriptural principle to remind ourselves of what God's doing. But here's some of the things just recently. Kids growing in faith and enjoying church. One of the reasons we had them come in is for us to start to get a snapshot of this whole other part of our church that's happening every week. They're not just the church of the future, are they? That's part of who they are. They're also today's church. Just yesterday, I was at a wedding, and I was talking to the wedding coordinator. She was telling how her son, they had so much difficulty getting pregnant, and they thought it's done. We thought this is never going to happen again. Well, their son prayed that their mom, this without them knowing, they prayed that their son prayed that the mom was going to have a Christmas baby, a girl, blonde hair, blue eyes. They're both parents are both brown hair, dark eyes, and they had a hard time having babies. Well, what happened on Christmas Eve? Blonde hair, blue eye baby. You know, just unbelievable. So kids are church of today too. And so what we're finding is the kids are growing in faith. Robin was telling me a story. I hope I get it right here. But she was walking down the hall and she saw some kid and they had like some stoplight thing they had made or something like that. And she just kind of was being nice and polite, which is great. We'll get to that in a second. But she just kind of said, that's a nice little deal you got. And the kid goes, yes. And it means this. They told the whole deal. They're not just going and hearing the same stories 14 times over. What is happening over there? They are helping these kids grow in their faith. And beyond just growing intellectually, they're having fun. They're having a blast. Sometime just take a walk back there and see how they change a hallway into this just amazing environment. Kids are growing faith. They're enjoying church. I remember when I was a kid, I used to think that church was the adult's thing, and they kind of tolerated us. And I'm so glad to watch what I'm seeing happening here, not only these kids growing in faith, but you guys are including them. Their leaders certainly are, but you guys are too. We went to the bowling deal. We had this, if you're new, we had this bowling thing a couple weeks ago. And watching how you guys were clapping for these kids. We had the bumper bowls set up, and there they are. Everybody's cheering for these little ones. They're trying to roll those balls down there, and the things are going, you know. But people were cheering and clapping, and it was so great to see that this is a place that doesn't just tolerate kids. This is a place we're going to love them. They have a place here. So this is already, God's starting to do this among these kids. And then the family's receiving gifts. The backstory on this, if you're just joining us, is that there's a Hispanic congregation near Monticello. And they're part of the Covenant denomination. I just met him. This guy, Javier, got a whole great story about him and how he even got called into the ministry. Well, to make a real long story short, he was just asking. I asked him one time, I said, hey, you know, if you ever, when I heard his testimony, if you ever need some help with something, just let us know. We're, at that point, we were all of like 3 Sundays old. But I said, you know, we'll do what we can. Well, he sent me this real very polite email, said, you know, we've got these families, and so many of them are just, they're living day to day to day. And would you be able to help us get some toys? So I said, we'll see what we can do. Only got 2 Sundays to do it. Brand new church. Look at this. And one of the things I love about this story is this is one of those, it would not have happened if. A number of you would have found, you know, avenues to give generously in other ways. This specific church, those specific kids, would not have had these toys. They had no other avenue. They had tried some other things. They had a little bit come in. And some of you were asking your coworkers. Some of you were, I mean, there's checks and things that aren't even represented here. Thank you so much. This is one of these. Does God want this church to happen? Yes. There are specific things that are starting to happen that would not have happened otherwise. Would not have happened otherwise. And it's just, it's thrilling to see that. Families are getting these gifts. You know, the next one down here is churches are being blessed. One of the things I had to get over was the fact that, in me even saying yes to this, I had to get over the fact that there were so many churches already. I had to get past that barrier because it's like, why another one? Well, it's God's math. Churches aren't supposed to just divide. They're supposed to multiply. And we're starting to see that happen, how God's already using this church. It's only, you know, weeks old. He's starting to use this church to bless other churches. Nueva Vida, who these things are going to go to. Our first couple Sundays, there were other new churches that were already saying, well, how do you guys do it? We're like, well, we've been at it now, you know, so long. Here, come learn from us veterans. But people are already coming that way. I'm thrilled to be a part of this denomination, this thing I call the Covenant Cult. I knew nothing about the Covenant Church before, probably about a year and a half ago. It is this unique thing. I mean, there's definitely denominations. That's not unique. This one is. To have the theology they do and the relationship they do, it's real. We went to one of these things once with the denominational leaders. Laura's crying. She's like, this feels like camp. I feel like we're home. To have these kind of relationships. So this is not the end here. This is just the beginning of these relationships that God's going to build. And he wanted this specific church to be a part of the mix. So that's happening. And then this one, people are rediscovering church. Already we're seeing that. There's been so many people who their level of involvement has upped because they're like, I know this thing needs to happen. So I'm going to jump in, roll up my sleeves and see where it goes. Last week after the service, the church planting guru guy for our conference, this Covenant conference, he was here and he said, you want to go out to lunch with me and my wife? I'm like, yeah, we'll do that. So my wife and I went out. He used a phrase I'd never heard before. He called it de-churched. People who are de-churched, as in disillusioned, discouraged, disconnected. There's this whole group of folks. And we're starting to find that there's a number of people who are already, God is already using this church to help with that. We've had we had Faith and Corey come up here a couple weeks ago sharing their story. We're going to continue to try to show you some of these things so you know that this is happening. This week, I asked permission if I could read this email that I got from a young adult. Listen to this. I just wanted to say how amazed I am at all you've done, and the you goes out to all of us that God is using here. I know that this has been prepared for and prayed for and worked at, but it still seems like you've had so little time to get this going, and it's already huge. I'm so impressed that everyone has come together into a new family, love that language, so quickly. It was so blessed at the ECCU at the Maid, that bowling event, to meet so many people. It was really exciting to talk to people who are older and younger, and it was so heartwarming to come into the place, to come to a people where you know you were loved and people who are excited to meet you, to talk to you, to hear about your life. I feel like I'm rambling. I have a connection with this person. But this is so important to me. I've had a few awful encounters with Christians, in quotes, and I've been intimidated by church for the past year, if not more. I stopped coming altogether just before ECC started. I started attending other churches and trying to find a place that was willing to struggle with the hard things and willing to be servants to those who are around the world and in our community. I feel like I'm coming to a place in my life where it's not about the drama of life, but about the moments that break your heart and the people that God blesses you with knowing and the passions that God gives you. I'm in a very prove it to me point because of what I've been, where I've been in life recently. I'm so excited of what you're doing because you literally said, I don't have all the answers. It was exciting to see somebody say that. That day, I took home all the information you guys had, read it over, prayed about it, talked to my roommates about it. I've been blessed by every service you've had. It's really been an awesome place to grow, if only for a few weeks. How exciting is this? You know, and this is one story of a person who God's using, and it's exciting. I'm in a lot of ways rediscovering church. You know, I've been working in churches now for a long time. For me, half of my life now. I've been part of a lot of church council meetings. I almost feel guilty. We have this thing where it's kind of like our council before we have a real council. Some people who are in real early who I'm like, I want wisdom. I want accountability. Excuse me. So we started gathering. I almost feel guilty at those meetings because we laugh so much, you know, and we talk about these fun things. And listen to this. We don't have a council yet, but listen to how this leadership advisory team thinks. In February, on February 24th, there's going to be a huge basketball tournament here. And already they were really nervous. Like, you guys are having a church service while it would have been fine if we were only like 20 people, you know? But they're like, we already overflow parking and we didn't know what we're going to do. And so I threw this out to our team. I'm like, well, you know, what do you guys think? Listen to how they think. They were like, it wasn't, well, let's, you know, hold up our contract and say we are here and let's get our people to get the spots earlier or something like that, you know? It was, how do we serve them? Should we go later? Can we come early and help with concessions? I'm just like, I love this church. I love how I'm rediscovering what we can be. Not, here's our rights. Now come to our service. How can we serve? How can we be about God's business? People are rediscovering church. I'm rediscovering church. The next one, fusion of liturgy and life, art and intellect. I love that we're not becoming this one-dimensional thing, you know, where it's we're a church that is very artistic and that those who are not artistic don't really have a place. Or we're intellectual. We're the church that just is deep in the word. I love this fusion that's starting to happen. And I love the fact that people are not saying it's all about me. The emails that I get, it's just been so fun. We had one time where we, in one service, went all the way through the book of Esther, almost. And some number of you wrote back, oh, I'm so glad you did that. I love that, and I love going deep, and I went into Esther. It wasn't, do this every week. And I love how last time, when we took some of the symbols of Christmas and unpacked it, it was very, very different. People wrote back, said, thank you for that. But they didn't say, you should do that every week. It's been very interesting to see this group that God is starting to pull together of how it's not about us, but it's this multifaceted thing. And that it is. It's more than just, okay, we're going to have an Advent wreath. Sorry to see y'all. Tim had offered to make this Advent wreath. And it wasn't just, okay, I'm just going to put something together that looks nice. He's trying to get olive wood from Jerusalem. Still drying, they said, or something. It's, you know, we're thinking we're just going to, you know, fly over and get it. You know, but it's just so cool. Let's put depth behind it. You know, let's have authenticity. So again, I could go on and on that one. And here's the next thing I want to just say, you know, is the community starting to take note. I knew this would happen down the road. I knew that this church would start to impact the community down the road. I'm thrilled to see it's already happening. One of my favorite passages from the opening chapters of Acts, it's in Acts 4. It uses this phrase, the community saw these people and what was happening, and they took note that these people had been with Jesus. Rather than us going, we're with Jesus, now take note, the opposite is happening. I put this in an email for those who are on that ECC email list, and anybody can just fill out the connection card and get on. But I came one Sunday early and met with the custodian. They have different rotating custodian staff. And this is the week we began weekly services. This brand new custodian, he's brand new to the school. He's brand new to this team. Before I even say anything, he's like, "I've heard so much about your group. I have heard how friendly you guys are. You guys leave this place spotless. I am prepared today to just come," except there was a snowstorm. He goes, "I came prepared to just be sitting in my office watching the TV because I've heard you guys are like that. Custodians don't gush." And I knew that this would happen down the road, but already that early, you guys are starting to have that kind of reputation. And not just with them, I get these letters now from the food shelf. "Thank you for sending 160 pounds of food. Thank you for sending 260 pounds of food." It's starting to happen. It's starting to happen. Again, we could go on and on and on. And I told you before in a past service, if I ever get up here and start bragging about us, come up and shush me. You know? But I got to tell you, God's at work. This is God's church, and he's building it. And it's so exciting to be a part of that. Someday, if you can come early, if you get this nudge, just come and watch. Come early and either watch or jump in and watch as this building, this middle school, becomes a sanctuary. It's so, so, so exciting. You know, drivers coming in, pulling up that huge trailer, people setting up equipment and chairs, people making this feel like a home, people taking care of the kids, hospitality people, all this. And that's just the Sunday morning stuff. It's so much more than that. I was at a Christmas party on Friday night with some friends, and they had this Christmas trivia game. And I'm like, yes, because we just did the symbols of Christmas. And I'm like nailing, "Where are the poinsettias? What was the country of origin for poinsettias?" Anybody remember? Mexico. I'm like, point for us, you know. And then, when is Epiphany? Do you remember? January 6th. See, you guys, our team would have just rocked, right? But it was interesting, because then last night, I'm driving to this wedding, and I'm going, so what? If we're just a church that's only getting trivia, but God isn't really in it, what does the Bible say? If you have not love, it doesn't matter. So this thing on the back that says love God, love others, follow Jesus, starting to happen. Starting to happen. And I could go on and on and on. Those are some of the stories, all of which have just been happening in the last couple months. So I'm thrilled. All right, well, let me pray, and then let's talk about some things besides the stories. I just felt like we needed to do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you shook so many of us up. You know, most of us, God, you know our situations. Most of us came from existing churches. And Lord, I pray that you bless each one of those churches. May they multiply your effectiveness. And Lord, thank you for calling us to this one. And I pray that you will continue to lead and guide us, that we will not have to ever question that you've done this and that you're doing this. But instead, we could just experience it, and we could be more and more about your business. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, quickly on that note, we're just now going to start getting the word out. We really hadn't done that much until we kind of figured, like, okay, let's work out some of the bugs and things like that. Still, the best way is going to be for personal contacts. Don't be the space invaders like we talk about. Don't be just bugging people too much. But as God provides opportunity, the best way to get the word out of what he's doing here is for you to share that. And these next couple weeks are going to be great. Christmas service, the next time we get together. And then this new series we're going to do is going to be phenomenal. So I'm really excited about that. All right, let's get into today. If you're joining us 2 weeks ago or just joining us, 2 weeks ago we started a series we're calling Rediscovering Christmas. Rediscovering Christmas. And last week, we looked at what the Bible had to say about tradition. This week, we're going to look at what the Bible says about gifts, And here's the passage that kind of triggered this thinking for me. It's out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. If we can get that up on the screen, thanks. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect your what? Gift. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Do not neglect your gift. God's given us all gifts, and God's gifts should not be neglected. God has given us all gifts, and God's gifts should not be neglected. And they come in all kinds of forms. One of the forms, the one I want to focus on today, is music. It's music. If you have your bulletins, if you want to turn to the back, we have a song. How many of you guys, anybody heard this one before? This "Welcome to Our World"? Okay. I want to just give you an example. I think this song is a gift. And I'm not just doing, this is not sermon light today. It might sound like it when we're starting, but just follow this. This is a gift. The first verse of the song says, tears are falling, hearts are breaking, how we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Welcome, Holy Child. I'm just going to take just this little sentence that you can sing, or this verse, you can sing it in, what, 10 seconds. Let me show you some of the biblical basis for this. The first line, tears are falling, hearts are breaking. Here's what some of the Bible has to say about that. If you're a note taker, right next to this first line, write Jeremiah 31/Matthew 2. Jeremiah 31/Matthew 2. Look, here's hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Look at these words that came out of a prophet's mouth. This is from the Jeremiah 31:15. This is hundreds of years before Jesus was born. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great what? Weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. This might seem pretty cryptic, but here's some of what that means. First of all, have you ever seen a mother refusing to be comforted? No. You ever seen that? Where there's like a tragedy, there's a bomb, you know, that goes off in the Middle East, and the moms who are just, you know, no way you're going to comfort them. Son gets killed in war. No way you're going to comfort some of them right away. You know, or recently, the shooting in Colorado. Imagine, I don't know all the full story and what that family was like, but this guy goes on this shooting rampage, goes in this parking lot, kills two sisters, 18 and 16, in a church parking lot, shoots up the husband too. Imagine being that mom right now. A mom refusing to be comforted. And I don't know where she's at, but boy, she would have every right to feel that way. You know, on a side note, please pray for that church, New Life Church in Colorado. Last year about this time, they had this huge scandal with their pastor, and they're just kind of recovering from that, and now this. They could use our prayers. Well, okay, the prediction in Jeremiah's prophecy then is a mother is going to refuse to be comforted. And here's why this is even more chilling. See if you can catch this. Ramah is a real place, and it's not far from Jerusalem. Okay, so this Ramah, a voice is heard in this area close to Jerusalem, like ground zero for God's activity back then. And Rachel was Israel's favorite wife who gave birth to his favorite son. So we are talking about God's chosen people in God's promised land. This is going to happen there. That's a chilling prophecy. Chilling prophecy. The oracle here is that something terrible is going to happen to God's children. Something so horrible that mothers will refuse to be comforted. So why are tears falling and hearts breaking right around the time of Jesus' birth? Because this came true. This horrible prophecy came true. I asked you to write down Matthew 2. Here's why. Can we put that up? Matthew 2. When Herod, we'll talk about him in a second, when he realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to what? Kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, that would be Ramah, who were 2 years old and under in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah, we just looked at this, was fulfilled. And here you go, word for word, the voice was heard in Ramah, mourning and weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because her children were no more. This is the world into which Jesus was born. A world where God seemed so far away, a world where tears were falling, hearts were breaking. Well, it shouldn't surprise anybody that Herod, this king, was capable of this. He was vicious. This is the same Herod who murdered his wife, murdered his three of his sons, murdered his mother-in-law, murdered his brother-in-law, murdered his uncle, and many others. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that this guy's capable of this. What should be surprising is that God allowed it. God is going to allow this to happen to his people in his promised land. God's going to allow someone to get shot in a church parking lot? This is the world. Which then sets up the next line. How we need to hear from God. God, why are you letting this happen? This should not be. We need to hear from you. And if you're taking notes on your bulletin after that line in the song, write down John 1:14. John 1:14. It says this, the word became flesh. We've used this last couple of weeks. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God wasn't just about to be heard. God was going to be seen. This is the world we need God to come in, and he did. We need to hear from God. Between the close of the Old Testament, start of the New Testament, there's about 400 years that some people say the prophets were silent. Where was God? Why was he silent? Well, he's not silent anymore. He's going to be heard. He's going to be seen. And the next line in the song reads, okay, you've been promised, we've been waiting. In your bulletin next to this one, you could write down Matthew 2:6 and Isaiah 9:6. Because from the promise, from the city of Bethlehem, the Savior is promised. Here's what it says in Matthew 2:6. They're quoting an ancient prophecy. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This prophet, it's quoted here by Matthew. It was given by Micah, another prophet, 7 centuries before the advent of Jesus. You talk about waiting. Here's this promise 700 years later. The promise is now. This is why Christmas is a big deal. 700 years of waiting. And here's one that's even older. Isaiah 9:6. This promise. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So there's the promise. The promise is one day the waiting's going to be over. One day, hope is going to come breaking into our world. And the last line of that first verse reads, welcome, holy child. Welcome, holy child. Into this dark and troubled time, hope was born. Hope came. And that's one of the reasons we use the color blue at Advent. We change the little strip of fabric under there. We change color candles. To use this color, color of hope. Color of hope. Hope came into our world. And in our world, the year 2007, we need hope. We need it. That's one of the reasons why the church starts the year with Advent, the season of hope. To remember, hope is coming into our world. It came once. God is still among us. And one day Jesus is going to come back. We can remember that. So welcome, holy child, it says. And there's almost a hint of sarcasm there, isn't there, in that line. Welcome, because how was he welcomed? You know, in very, very humble circumstances. Celebrated by God. This epiphany is given to the world, but in a very humble circumstance. Now, it took us, what, 5-6 minutes to unpack what only took 10 seconds to sing. Do you see why this is a gift? Because in that little tiny phrase set to music, this verbiage and concepts can be communicated. And they can be felt in a different way. And I can see some emotion on your faces, but when it's great music and it's hitting you deep, I mean, that's the kind of thing that makes your eyes close and yourself sway, doesn't it? It's a gift, and the gift should not be neglected. This song, this one that we picked, contains theologically loaded verses. It also contains powerful phrasing and imagery. The next line, fragile fingers, think of this. The imagery this creates. Think of a baby. My sister-in-law just had a baby. We got our newest ECC-er, you know, little Molly. You know, never let a Christmas go by without looking at a baby. Don't freak out the mom. But there's something just so powerful about looking at that. And here it is. Fragile fingers sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorns. Tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born. You know, how many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ, that movie? Right? I mean, how many of you had to flinch or close your eyes? Oh, man. Well, imagine God who can see into the future. Imagine God seeing this fragile baby, this son, only son coming into the world, knowing and also seeing what was awaiting the same son. This is what the song kind of captures. And as a quick side note, it was interesting. I had an experience with music moving. North Heights had this thing called the Christmas Window, this production they did. And in one of the rehearsals, they had the kind of the manger scene set up with people, and then they had this angel behind. In one of the rehearsals, the angel was holding the sword, which I thought was really cool. And then later on, when I was watching it in the performance and the music is going and everything, I started to weep because here's the picture that I got in my mind with all of this imagery and music. I thought, okay, someday, this is God thinking, someday that's going to happen to my boy. Not tonight. Not tonight. As you look at the angel there, that sword, not tonight. You try messing with my boy tonight. Music can do that. It's a gift, and the gift of God should not be neglected. Well, Phil and Kelsey, if you can come up. What I did with this song is I wanted to unpack some of it so that now as it's sung, maybe we can look at it differently. Instead of, oh, it's offering time. Oh, they're going to do a song. There's going to be different times. There's going to be times we're going to use music differently. It's too much of a gift to just always use the same way. Okay, let's always pick a song that everybody knows. No. Let's sometimes take songs and let's reflect on the words. Sometimes let's give them one so we can participate and engage ourselves with our own minds. Other times, let's put them up there so that this music can be used. So we are going to receive our offering a little bit. And as we think of the gift that God gave us, what a great thought to have in our mind as we give back to Him. But as we receive that offering, look at these words. If you know the song, feel free to sing along. Let this just be an experience for you. If you're unfamiliar with it, just really listen to the words, some of the things that were spoken. Let me pray, and then Phil and Kelsey, if you would please lead us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these gifts that you send us. Thank you for this particular gift from this these artists who will put it together. Lord, I pray right now that we could experience a little of you through this gift. We pray in Jesus' name. Oh, and also, God, we pray that you'll take these gifts that we return back to you and use them as you have already for your plans and purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the context of the passage we started with, the 1 Timothy 1, the context of the gifts he was talking about were spiritual gifts. You know, that God has given you spiritual gifts. And there's this connection between the spiritual gifts and then the real practical thing that we receive. Great example. I see Becky and Dell sitting out here, so I'll pick on you guys. If you know me, I'm not the guy who thought of, let's have a coat rack for people, you know? I'm not the one who was able to think, you know, how do you really just make people feel real welcome when you go out there and have hospitality? And God has gifted Becky with this gift of hospitality, among others, but this gift of hospitality. So God's given gifts. How do we receive, then, her gift? We receive it because you go out there. I mean, we have to pull some of you guys in when the start of the service. You're like, I'm having too much fun out here. It feels so comfortable. I'm getting to know these people. I'm having fun. You know, you can do that after the service too. You know, no, I'm just kidding. You can tell them my gift, not hospitality. Right? But because God's given her that gift, we can then benefit from it. You know, her husband Dell, we had a coffee emergency, you know, a couple weeks ago where the coffee pot wasn't working. And so we're like, oh, now what are we going to do? Well, Dell takes out his pocket knife and goes, I know what I'll do. I'll fix the thing. You know, so because he's gifted to be able to fix things, we can benefit. And the same is true of music. God has gifted poets and musicians and artists. And then how do we receive the gift from the gift that God gave them? We can receive it through these songs. You know, this time of year, there's so much music. And there's a lot of fun songs that are out too. And I'm not saying, okay, never listen to a fun song again. You know, the songs about blue Christmases and white Christmases and silver bells, jingle bells, Santa, snowmen, all that. You know, they start coming out about the day after Halloween, right? You know, there's plenty of entertainment out there. And sure, you know, I like dessert with my meal too. Take, use them and have fun with them. But be careful not to neglect, the word says, the good gifts. Don't neglect them. You know, and you can do this at home. What we just did here, you can do at home. Slow down. Slow down. Turn on the Christmas tree. Put on one of the great songs of Christmas. And I put some examples in your notes. Here's one, this What Child Is This? What a powerful song. This is poetry and theology all wrapped up into music. And on the back, I put 11 Christmas classics, kind of mixed them up, something to do at lunch or out there, you know, of unscrambling them. All of these would be great songs. To listen to. Do not neglect the good gifts. I had what I call a BFO when I was reading Luke this week. ECCers, what's BFO? Blinding flash of the obvious. Oh, see, we got a congregation starting here. Here's my BFO. I was reading through Luke and I'm starting to see, what did people do before Christmas? They burst into song. On your notes, I said recommended reading. I put a book that has some backstories to the songs. I also put Luke chapter 2. I should have put Luke chapter 1. Because Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born. Luke chapter 1, you have these people bursting into song. What did Mary do? She burst into song. Not the kind of one you put on your ringtone, you know, not that. But it's like this prophetic, poetic kind of deal. But she burst into song. Zechariah, if you're familiar with the story, what did he do? He burst into song. And these are all pre-Christmas. And then what did the angels do when Jesus was born? They burst into song. This is something that God's people do. Some have described this song that Mary burst into. It's called the Magnificat. It's referred to sometimes as the gospel before the gospel. It's a Christmas carol before Christmas. When we sing Joy to the World, aren't we celebrating Advent before Advent? These are gifts, and God's gifts should not be neglected, because this Advent of Jesus was a moment like none other. And music helps you not just think about it. It fuses your thinking and your feelings at the same time if you let it. What a great gift that God's given us. In fact, again, if you're thinking, hey, this is just sermon light today, look at this, Ephesians 5. If we could put up 5:19, what does the scripture tell us to do that we need to be reminded of? Speak to one another with psalms, with what? Hymns and spiritual songs. Sing, make music in your heart to the Lord. That's what the Word of God reminds us to do. And last week, we talked about some of the irony, how so many of what we now have as the sacred symbols of Christmas in the church started outside the church. How it was very interesting how that happened. Christmas songs, I didn't know this, Christmas songs were like that too. Christian Christmas songs started outside the church. Because the theologians and all these people are like, it's not in Latin, so we shouldn't sing it. It's not directly a psalm, we shouldn't sing it. So all these great hymns were being sung outside the church and not in this church. Today it's reversing, isn't it? There was a day where, and if you walked down the street, you were as likely to hear Joy to the World as you were Rudolph, you know, or Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer. You still hear some of those, but it's shifting, isn't it? You know, you're hearing less and less of those in the public situation. And where I'm personally at, I'm okay with that, because you shouldn't expect a secular organization not to sing secular songs. That's okay. That's who they are. It fits their definition. The Bible warns us about holding those who don't acclaim affiliation with Christ to the same standards as us. Here's one example of that. Just a reminder as we get into Christmas. 1 Corinthians. What business is it of mine, Paul says, to judge those where? Outside the church. I mean, if you were ever a principal, cut them some slack. It is hard, okay? Don't judge those outside the church. Let's all judge each other. We need to talk about that at a future time, too. It's not licensed to, you know, point fingers and all. But his point is well taken. So be careful about attacking a school, attacking a business. It is complex. Remember God's kindness. Our example can lead to repentance. I think the better example for us is to make sure that we don't personally neglect the good gifts God's given us. Nobody's stopping you from personally taking these good gifts and experiencing them. Look at right now. We are in a school singing God-honoring songs. It can happen anywhere God's people tap into this. You don't have to force the rest of the world to conform. You personally can take advantage of these good gifts. Regardless of what retailers choose to do, the songs of this holy night can still be heard and sung all over Shoreview, and North Oaks, to see if I get everybody, Roseville, Little Canada, New Brighton, Arden Hills, Coon Rapids, Andover, Delwood, Stillwater, Lake Elmo, Woodbury, St. Anthony, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Fridley, Blaine, Brooklyn Park, Forest Lake, and Ham Lake. Who'd I miss? Circle Pines! Oh! Anybody else? Lionel? I didn't get Lionel Lakes, too. Hastings! My mom! My own mom! That didn't work. Note to self. You know, but isn't it true? We can take these things wherever we go. What great gifts God's given us. Well, as we have our closing song here, can we get Phil and the worship band to come back up? Let's sing now. We sang one of these songs that wasn't so much like one of the classics. Let's close with this classic. If you please stand with me, let's close with this this classic song. And again, try to soak it in. If you want to just not sing and just soak it in, you can that way. If you want to sing, sing out. It's called "O Holy Night." Just a great gift that God has given us. And then I'll pray a blessing as we leave.